week 3 in the series called Rise Above. And we're looking at the life of Joseph and different seasons of his life and things he went through. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about when he had been betrayed by his brothers and sold off into slavery, and just the topic of rising above adversity. Last week, we talked about the season of his life where he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife pursued him and was tempting him, trying to seduce him, and how Joseph rose above the issue of temptation. This week, I want to talk about discouragement. How do you rise above discouragement? Now, I'd hope to kind of share maybe a discouraging story with you from my own life this week, but just to be honest, things have been going very, very well lately. A lot of reason to be encouraged. For one, last year was just a great year for the church. We experienced some growth, some steady growth. We had a great sacrificial offering back in October. It's led to this year being able to hire a new staff member, and we're doing a remodel project, and just great things are happening here. Last week, we had record attendance with 323 people between both services and the children's ministry. There were 80 children here last week from birth through fifth grade. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, and it's amazing. It's awesome to be a part of that. Record offerings as well lately. I was able to go back to Kansas this last week, and while you might think it was difficult circumstances, my grandmother had passed away. As I mentioned last Sunday, she was 98. It was encouraging for me to be there. She was a believer in Jesus Christ, and so it was encouraging for me to be there and be a part of her service. Lots of things to be encouraged about. Baptism this morning, right? Some discouraging things. It's tax season. I finished my taxes yesterday. I don't know about you. The basketball team that I'm a part of finished the season 1-18. That is 1-18, okay? So, but to be encouraged, it was over Monday, and so I can move on with other things in life. And you know, I was encouraged this morning as I woke up and thought, where else could I be a part of a church and be able to preach in flannel? And so, I love our church. I really do. I love to be here and be a part of what God is doing here. But today we're going to talk about discouragement. Olin Hendricks wanted to be a missionary to Africa, wanted to move there, but his wife didn't want to go to a foreign country. And so he decided, well, let's go on a trip there, and maybe I can kind of introduce her to the culture, to the people, to that sort of thing, and maybe she will be won over by her experience there. But unfortunately, his wife did not want to go to a foreign country. His wife did not want to experience hardship. Her idea of hardship was turning the electric blanket down to zero at night. But they went on this trip either way, and he was hopeful of that. Unfortunately, she was bitter the whole time. So he reminded her at one point during the week, well, honey, just remember, on the very last day, we're going to go to Victoria Falls. And remember, that is one of the most beautiful places in all of Africa. So they finally arrived on the last day, and Olin was hopeful maybe she would have kind of turned around through the course of the week. And I guess near the falls, there is a statue of the great missionary David Livingston there, and he's kind of standing there looking over the horizon as if waiting for Jesus to return. And so Olin kind of puts his arm around his wife and he says, honey, what do you think was going through David's mind? What do you think he was thinking about? And his wife, on the very last day of their trip, her response caught him off guard. She said, I suppose he's thinking, I've had it up to here with Africa. So I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a place in life where you have had it up to here with life? Maybe you're frustrated and discouraged and disgusted with your job. Or maybe you're discouraged with your marriage. Or maybe it has to do with a friendship or a neighbor, or if you're a student, some class that you have to show up for every day and you're wondering, why am I here? Maybe it's even church. Maybe you're discouraged at church or serving in the church. Have you ever been in a point in life where you just wanted to kind of give up and call it quits and go do something else? This might be a good life verse for you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. Paul writes this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul wrote those words to one of the most sinful to a church in one of the most sinful cities of all time during its day, the church in Corinth. I do believe, though, that the life of Joseph, no matter what he faced, no matter the seasons he went through, the life of Joseph ought to encourage us in some ways. when we find ourselves discouraged. Here's a young man who could have easily said, I've had it up to here with Egypt. I'm tired of all the people making promises to me and then not coming through. I'm tired of waiting to hear back from God. He's not answered my prayers. In the first 30 years of his life, Joseph experienced enough that would make most of us in the room discouraged. He was hated by his brothers. It wasn't necessarily his fault. I mean, although I'm sure he was a typical, you know, teenage brother. I don't know. I've never experienced that before. But either way, I mean, it wasn't his fault, surely. But his brothers, instead of killing him, decide to sell him into slavery. Finds himself carted off to Egypt in a matter of hours. Taken to a foreign country all alone. But in Egypt, he worked hard. Kind of advanced to a place where his boss made him the kind of assistant to him, administrative assistant, but then more trouble comes his way. Potiphar's wife comes along and tries to seduce him. He says no, resists her advances, ran out of the house, but she gets angry, and she's standing there holding his cloak, his coat, and so she falsely accuses him of rape, and he's thrown into prison. Psalm 105 has several verses that talk about Joseph. Verse 18 says this, "They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons." Joseph was thrown into prison. He'd done nothing wrong, nothing to be guilty of, and yet found himself as a slave bound in prison. In spite of all of this, he remains faithful. He remains steadfast. He didn't let himself get discouraged. If you have your Bible with you today, I encourage you to bring your Bible every week. If you don't, the verses will be on the screen. But open up to the end of chapter 39 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 39. Going to look at another season of Joseph's life where he rose above a situation. So beginning in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20, "While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." Become familiar with that phrase because we'll see it over and over again in the rest of Joseph's story. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Chapter 40. Sometime later, not sure exactly how long it was, but sometime later the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. In the same prison where Joseph was confined, the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, again, not sure how long, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. The cupbearer would be the one who tasted the wine or the drink, whatever it was, before it was passed to the king. He's there for protective measures. If someone wanted to murder the king, poison the king, they might put something in his drink of choice. And so the cupbearer, his responsibility was to test it. And then if he lived, then he would hand it to the king. So tough job, I'm sure. The baker is the same thing. His job was to test kind of the food, make sure it was prepared properly. And he was responsible for presenting it to the food or to the king safely, presenting the food to the king safely. I don't know what it was they did to offend the king. We can speculate a little bit. Maybe they burned the toast or the coffee was too cold or too many jalapenos in the chili. I don't know what it was. But for one reason or another, we're not told. Whatever it was, they're put in prison. The same area that Joseph is at, that he's in charge of. So nothing in common. These two men and Joseph have really nothing in common. But isn't it interesting that sometimes in life when we face struggles, when we go through something, we find ourselves, or God may bring us alongside someone who has experienced similar circumstances, either in the present, going through it right now, or has experienced that in the past. Genesis 40, let's continue. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams," they answered, "but there's no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" So it's interesting to me. He's in prison. You'd think that he's upset, frustrated, feeling sorry for himself, but instead he kind of sees these two guys in his presence that are hurting, that he could minister to. And it's interesting what he does. These guys come along and say, "We had dreams," and Joseph doesn't say, "Well, I have a degree in that. I read a great book about that. I can tell you the exact answer, interpretation to your dreams." He says, in fact, Do not all interpretations belong to God? You'll see this in Joseph's life. No matter how gifted he was, experienced he was, he always pointed credit back to God, honor to God. So Joseph does say, well, tell me your dreams. All interpretations belong to God. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me. On the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me, show me kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. Even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. So he says, hey, it's going to turn out good for you. In just a few days, you're going to be restored to your position. Things are going to be okay between you and Pharaoh. And when they are, please remember me so I'll get out of this place. Well, the chief baker is listening. Let's continue. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The 3 bakers are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole. The birds will eat away your flesh. Now, I just want to stop there for just a minute. A little bit different of an interpretation, right? I mean, if you had been in Joseph's shoes in that moment, I mean, just imagine, would you have said what Joseph says? Or would you have said, hey, I think I have the answer to your dream. I can communicate that to you. Come back here in 4 days and I'll share that with you. Isn't it difficult to be honest with people sometimes? It's difficult for us to tell the truth, even when it hurts sometimes. Honey, how does this dress look? 99% of the time, I'm safe and solid with my answer. Most of the time, I am. But she's asking for the truth. Every now and then, I get it wrong. Hey, coach, what do I need to work on so that I can play more in the varsity game? Well, should I quit my job? Should I break up with him? Should I leave her? My adult children won't listen to me. What should I do? We might say something if we were in his situation. Well, I would not recommend that you invest in long-term insurance, right? But not Joseph. Joseph says, you know what? You have 3 days to live, friend. You'd better get your house in order. Joseph wasn't about trying to win friends. He's not a people pleaser in this moment. He's trying to represent God. And I think as Christians, this is something that we need to remember and understand. Paul writes in Ephesians 4 that we are to speak the truth, but to speak the truth in love, right? If we're not careful, oftentimes we kind of swing that pendulum to one side or the other. Either we speak the truth and, hey, they're just going to like it. We don't do so with love. Or we love them, or we think we love them too much to speak the truth into their life. Paul says we need to speak the truth in love. As followers of Christ, we're responsible for being loving, but just along the lines with that, we should not be afraid to share the truth. So what happens as we continue? Lost my place. The 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday. He gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. 3 of the most difficult words in Scripture. He forgot. How do you forget him? How does that happen? With all that Joseph had done for him, he interprets his dream, he kind of gives him a new lease on life. How do you forget to mention Joseph before Pharaoh after that happens? I don't know if you know this, but Joseph would spend 2 more years in prison after this. 2 more years of frustration and discouragement. Keep in mind, Joseph doesn't know the rest of the story. And now you know the rest of the story, says Paul Harvey. Joseph didn't know that. Joseph didn't know Genesis 41. He didn't have a Gideon Bible in his cell. For all he knew, he could spend the rest of his life in prison. But yet, in spite of all these setbacks, as far as we know, he didn't get discouraged. He never gave up on his faith in God. Paul Harvey, in fact, did say this: the difference between a successful person and the life of mediocrity is that successful people get back up one more time than they're knocked down. Paul also wrote this in 2 Corinthians 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. What does it take to discourage you? What in life happens? What does it take to discourage you? I believe one of the devil's greatest tools is in the area of discouragement. Because if he can get you discouraged in some area in life, then he can begin to poke and prod with other things. And you're more apt to fall into that. You're more vulnerable to it. So in the time we have left this morning, I want to give you 3 keys to rise above discouragement. 3 keys for rising above discouragement. First of all, when you are discouraged, keep doing your job. When you're discouraged, don't quit. Keep doing your job. Joseph performed his job to the best of his ability, even when he wasn't happy about it. When we get discouraged, there's a temptation to what? Well, to step back, or to quit, or to withdraw, or to call in sick, to do sloppy work, to stay home and complain. But you know that doesn't solve the problem, right? Because you're going to wake up the next day harboring that frustration, that discouragement only compounds the problem. You still feel guilty. So when you are discouraged, force yourself to be responsible and do your job even when you don't feel like it. I've been a pastor here at this church for about 5 years, preaching here at the church. And I'd be lying to you if I said there were not days where I am thinking, well, I'd really like to call someone else to preach today. I'd rather just, I don't know, go mountain bike or something. I could really use a day off. As our staff grows, I plan on doing that. Some Friday, just calling up and saying, hey, you're preaching Friday. I'll see you that afternoon. Or you're preaching Sunday. It happens, though. But I am not governed by my feelings. I'm governed by the responsibility I've taken on. I'm governed by what God has commanded me to do. And one of the things that God has commanded me to do, and you too, in the book of Hebrews, is to not give up meeting together with other believers. When I stand up to preach, there are times that I feel like looking at you as you're looking back at me. But the Bible commands me to be kind. So I put on a smile. This might be a there have been a few times over the last few years where I have wanted to respond to a critical note that has been dropped in the suggestion box out in the hallway. But the Bible commands me to speak words of encouragement, and only words that will build one another up. So I don't respond to those. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. If you're treated badly for good behavior and continue in spite of it to be a good servant, that is what counts with God. Again, this is in the Message, in a paraphrase, if you will. A lot of times when things don't go the way we want, we try it and we get discouraged and we quit. But he says, hey, if you're treated badly for doing good and you stick it out and you follow through, that's what counts with God. In other words, God isn't just all excited when life is going great and everyone's healthy and the job is going good and classes at school are great and the neighbors are all friendly and you're doing well. That's not what gets God excited. God is excited when life is difficult for you and yet you follow through. You're faithful. You're willing to be steadfast, to continue to be a Christian witness. That's what counts with God. So whatever happens in your life, whatever happens in your career, or your marriage, or your school, or your neighborhood, whatever it is, I want to say keep doing your job. Be steadfast. Forge ahead. Don't give up. You can be a witness. Here's the second key for overcoming discouragement. When you are discouraged, look for others to encourage. When you're discouraged, look for others to encourage. And I cannot overstate this. One of the best ways to combat discouragement is to find someone else to encourage, someone else you can minister to. Even though Joseph is young and he's in prison, he's concerned about other prisoners who are hurting, and so he comes alongside them. When we hurt, one of the best things that we can do is to reach out to somebody else who is hurting and encourage them. There was a man once who was suffering from depression, and so he went to see a counselor. The counselor said to him, "Well, I want you to find someone that you can encourage in a practical way." Well, the man didn't really want to do that, but he figured, hey, I've paid for this counseling. I'm going to, to the best of my ability, follow the advice, which, just a side note, you know, you paid for the counseling. Maybe you should follow the advice. I'll get off my soapbox. But so he began to think about someone that he could encourage, and he thought about a school teacher who had taught him years back a strong appreciation for literature. And so he decided, I'm going to write her just a simple note of encouragement, a thank you note. And believe it or not, just a few days later, he receives a response back. And the note says this: "Dear Willie, when I read your letter, I was blinded with tears because I remember you as a little fellow in class, and it filled my heart. I've taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first letter of thanks I've ever received from a student. I will cherish your note until the day I die." This man was so moved by the response back that he began to think of other people that he could encourage. And over the course of the next 2 weeks, he'd written over 500 different handwritten thank you notes. Do you know what? His depression was cured. Are you discouraged today? To ask the question I asked a few weeks ago, do you want to get well? Do you want to feel better? Look around. Find somebody else that you can encourage and reach out to them. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 4, God comes alongside us when we go through hard times. Before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. And so again, if you're discouraged, find somebody else that you can encourage. It will help you get over your discouragement, perhaps even depression. Number 3, when you're discouraged, put your trust completely in God. When you're discouraged, put your trust in God. That's what Joseph did. Now, I'm sure God's timing was difficult for him to understand. Joseph's probably asking questions. God's methods were different from what he would have liked, but he still believed in God's promises and that God would be faithful. I believe that's part of a test of a true follower of Jesus Christ. I do. Will you be faithful to God when your life does not make sense? When life is difficult, when life happens and you know it happens, will you be faithful to God? There was a young boy who was brilliant, but he had a terrible birthmark on the side of his face. And so as a youngster, his mom tried everything she could to kind of prepare him before he would enter the first grade and go off to school. Tried to build up his self-esteem and speak into his life about his worth and that sort of thing. But her biggest fears became reality the first day he came home from first grade, and he said, "Mom, all the kids were making fun of me and the mark on my face. I'm not going back to school again." And she sat her son down and she said, "You're going to go back to school, son, because you need to understand life is full of responsibility. You need to be responsible." Many years later, Dr. Charles Elliott retired as the president of Harvard University. And he would later share in an article that the biggest lesson in his life, from all the experiences, all the education he had, the biggest lesson in his life was when he was 6 years old at his mother's knee, and she said, "Charles, remember there are some things in life you cannot change." There are some stories I'd love to share with you. They're very personal to me about understanding the things that I can change and working in those and accepting things that I can't change. And be willing to let God handle those. When you and I are discouraged and going through difficulty, and I know that you are, or you have, or you will, it's a fact. We need to be willing to step back and realize there are things in life we cannot change. So what do we do? As Christ followers, we love God, we're committed to his purpose, and so Scripture says things will work out, things will work together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Here's the key, and you've heard this quote: accept the things you cannot change and have the courage to act on the things you can change. There are things that you can change. You can start over. You can rise above bad habits. You can have a fulfilling marriage. You can have a different outlook and attitude on life. You can have a life to the full in Jesus Christ. You can have a fantastic future. You can rise above discouragement that comes your way with God's help. That's the caveat. With God's help. That's the qualifier. So the Bible gives us this encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes. I love the message sometimes. Small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Sometimes you might encounter people and you think, man, they just have no idea what's going on inside my life right now. Nobody knows what I'm going through. It's kind of like a duck going across the pond before the hunter, It's kind of like a duck going across the pond. You know, it's just kind of calmly going across the pond. But you know it's craziness under the surface as his feet are just, feet? What are they? They're not feet. Paddles? What do ducks have? It's going crazy, right? You don't see it on the surface. And maybe that's what your life is like sometimes. Things look great and happy and healthy and all is good on the surface, on the outside. But internally, underneath, all the struggles and challenges that you might be facing that would discourage you. And God's promise is this, hang in there. Heaven is coming. The struggles that you're going through today are nothing compared to the reward that's coming down the road if we're faithful. So how do you rise above discouragement? Put your trust completely in God. I mean, there's another option. You can try and hold on to things on your own. Try and take charge of your own future. But Joseph put his life in God's hands. God did not abandon him. God did not forget him. God walked along with him every step of the way. And don't miss this. What God did for Joseph, he will do for you. He can be there every step of the way. So put your life in God's hands and allow him to give you the courage and strength to face anything that comes your way. Here's the takeaway this week. Just a very simple truth. Faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded. And it may not be in the moment. It may be years down the road. It may not be this side of heaven. It may be after you breathe your last. But faithfulness is rewarded. So at your job, continue to do your job when you're discouraged. If you're discouraged in your marriage, at school, with your neighbors, whatever it may be, do not move. Be steadfast. Do your part. Be faithful. Find someone else to encourage. Be faithful to God. In the end, faithfulness is rewarded. It might come sooner than then. It might. But it might be a while. Be faithful to God. Would you stand with me this morning? If you don't yet know Jesus as Savior and Lord, today could be the day that you make that decision. Just as Cole caught me a few weeks ago and said, hey man, I need to do this. I need to be baptized. I need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today could be the day for you. If you'd like prayer, we're going to pray together, then we're going to sing, and after the song is over, we'd invite you to come forward if you have a decision to make or would like prayer. Let's pray. Father,